Welcome to Express Yourself, where arts, culture, and conversations intersect. I am your host, Amy Kimberly, and we have a really interesting show to kick off the weekend. I have Barb Froda, the co-creator, or really the idea gal, as I like to say, behind Light the Night with Love. She's here in the studio. Hi, Barb.
Hi.
How are you? Whoops, wait, let me get... Okay, you're on three. I gotcha. Getting a little rusty.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we gotcha. We will be calling in with Zacharia Rabani. He's an artist and studio manager at Anderson Ranch. And I was also lucky enough to catch up with Marilyn Lowy, an artist and lighting designer who has an installation in Light the Night, as well as a piece in the Valley Visual Show. So, as Trevor Noah says, let's do this, folks. To start out first with a little peek into what's happening around the valley. Katie and Kay does an amazing job with their community calendar, but we're going to delve a little into the galleries around the valley and what's happening there. So Ala Prima's is at the Red Brick Center West Gallery. They're open Tuesday through Thursday, 10 to 4, or by appointment. And the West Gallery is the Red Brick Arts Center. And the Ala Prima painters are an incredible group of artists that met weekly in Carbondale. So it's kind of a valley-wide group. And they paint, they critique, they share ideas. They're wonderful, wonderful women and artists. So if you get a chance, go check out the show up there. Those artists are Joan Engler, Sandy Francis, Libby DiStefano, Stephanie McConaughey, and Nicolette Toussaint, and Judy Nordhagen. Also, you can catch D.D. Reed, Reflections at the Art Base. That's up to the 19th of February, so you got another week and a half. And Reflections is a series of 22 digital photographs by D.D. Reed that are soft, dreamlike color images of fruit, flowers, vessels, and books. So check it out. I have seen some of the show online, which is really cool, guys. If you don't want to go out, you can go to the Art Base and a lot of places. You can go to their webpage and see the gallery shows and buy art there. So just another way to help support artists. They also are doing a Wild Rumpus Box Dance and Art Box. So this is for youth, and it's a collaboration with Dance Initiative. You pick up the box. It's a two-part box containing both visual art and movement. This is geared towards 3 to 7-year-olds. And it guides you through the creation of a mask and cape. It's kind of a nod to where the wild things are. Ooh, that sounds fun to me. Also, at CMC, you can catch Jimmy Westlake just for a few more days till February 11th. He's an astronomy and physics professor at Colorado Mountain College in Steamboat Springs. And he's a photographer, really crazy, wild, astronomical types of photographs. So if you get a chance, try to catch that. I think they're only open on weekdays there. So there you have it. Some ways to take in art. And art is a great way to say I love you. In fact, I have Barb Froda here, who has spent a lot of time spreading love around the valley and really inspiring people to jump on board the Night the Light with Love. Hi, Barb.
Hi, Amy.
So tell me, how did this all start?
So a big inspiration came from going to the Botanic Gardens. And I don't know if you've ever been there in the holidays, but they do this event called Blossoms of Light, and they cover the entire garden with LED lights. And you get to walk through, and they give you these little 3D glasses that when you look through them, you see snowmen. And years and years ago, I was at Lightning in a Bottle, which is a festival in California, and I went to a art installation where they gave you these glasses, and it was made entirely, the installation was made entirely of recycled plastic water bottles. And you put on the glasses, and it just turned into hearts everywhere. And it blew my mind to see this, and also the effect of seeing hearts everywhere. You just feel like a child again. I mean, just being surrounded by all that love, and it made my heart skip a beat. So I wondered why no one had ever combined those two, using the heart glasses and creating a heart walk, if you will. And that was really an old, you know, I guess that was the root of it, was having those two different experiences and wanting to combine them. And where the idea really cemented itself was with 2020 and recognizing how I had been privileged enough to have so much support around me and so many guides, so many teachers that helped me really navigate it with as much grace as I could and with a lot of trust, a lot of love. And I realized how important it was to understand this, the power that love and gratitude has when we navigate these difficult times, and how much we can inspire one another when we are putting out that energy, that loving energy. And I knew that our entertainment industry had been especially hard hit, and our elders and so many different communities, different demographics were being affected in a really difficult way with 2020, that I thought having this kind of heart walk would help bring people together and focus more on compassion, focus more on what lights us up, focusing on the joy factor. And if we do that, if we're around each other focusing on love, then it'll help us navigate so much of this division that's been going on for the last year and so much of the isolation. So
And I actually remember when we originally talked, it was because we'd both been to the Botanic Gardens, and we were just thinking Christmas in those days. That was a year ago, long before COVID and the world changed so much. So mm-hmm. when you came back around, it was immediately like, wow, this is what people need right now. And it's so hard to do events.
Yeah, it is a really tough time, and we are doing our absolute best to make sure that we keep this event safe, because while we know it's so important that we keep everyone safe and we maintain, you know, social distancing, I think there are still safe ways for people to connect. And I think one of the big things are mask wearing. People feel like it's hard to connect with people when you wear masks, but, you know, the eyes are the doorway to the soul, right? I can't remember if I'm saying that right. But there's a lot of connection that you can find when you're just present with people, and you can smile with your eyes. And by maintaining eye contact and not just hiding from people, you can really connect if you are looking for that connection.
Except you'll be having those heart glasses on.
Yep, that is a piece of it. But I do think that this event allows people to gather in a really safe way. And we're doing it outdoors and keeping people spaced out, and I think it is important for people to get out and remember there are still safe ways to connect. And I think by having art and performers, it reminds people that there are still ways, even if you're feeling stuck, art is one of the best ways to find freedom. And
absolutely.
So I think that's a really important piece there as well.
Absolutely. And let's talk about some of the other ways that we are asking you out there, the listener, or people that come to help us be able to do this safely. So if you wanted to come to the event, you have some options. Not too many right now because it's filling up. It's filling up quickly. So we've got about 350 Farolitos out there. That was one way that people participated. They could buy the Farolito kit, which came with the glasses and the ticket to the event, and the Farolito. And hopefully everybody is out there decorating them up. And if you don't know what a Farolito is, you might know what a luminaria is. It's the kind of candlelit bags that you can line the walkways with. And so the Rio Grande Artway is going to be lined with these ones that have been made by people all over the community. I mean, kids, grandparents, families, businesses. Mm-hmm. And so those will be lining the way, and then there'll be art installations throughout the way. And so the way that you get to come, we have signups, and they're not really connected to, you know, when you buy. You can go online at Carbondale Arts and buy either glasses. Right now, you can't buy any Farolitos because they are sold out.
Wow. Yeah. That's amazing.
Amazing.
We did it.
Yeah. So no more of those, but there are still some slots, mm-hmm. but you must sign up at carbondalearts.com for a time slot because we're trying to bring through 10 to 12 people in pods every 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. So we have to keep people safe. You have to sign up for your time slot, and hopefully you show up on time for your time slot. So anyways, we only have about, I think, like 75 slots left.
Wow.
out of almost 400.
Yeah, and you can still buy the glasses and sign up for a time slot. And there are other ways to participate. If you live along the Rio Grande Trail from 8th Street to Derail Park, we're asking for residents to decorate their homes with Christmas lights, and you can put hearts out, whatever decorations. I know that there's one lovely couple out there that's celebrating their 2-year anniversary, so I know they're going to be decorating.
Nice.
And so that's one way to get involved. And the paper lanterns, the farolitos, luminarias, whatever you want to call them, the idea behind that, if you have your bag and you're not sure what to do with it, I mean, you're really just honing in on whatever gives you joy and participating by decorating it or writing the names of people you want to honor and showing your love for a person, a place, a memory. Because if you're focusing on that love, your loving thoughts will literally light up the night for others to walk through the darkness. It's going to just be so beautiful. And other artists and performers are getting involved by creating art. You know, they're performing. We have Bonedale Ballet, and they're going to be doing a dance. And so there's so many different ways to get involved. We've had sponsors get involved. We have businesses along the pathway donating power, donating food. So we're feeling, I mean, there's so many ways to get involved. We have volunteers. I mean, this is completely volunteer run, which is, I mean, the levels of involvement are awesome. It's so diverse. And you can even participate without attending. We're having people call in to KDNK, right? We have the KDNK Love Line, and we've got that on Facebook and other places. You can find their phone number. I don't know if I can pull it up in a moment here, but you can call in and say your name and then answer the prompt, what lights up your heart? So we're trying to make this very inclusive, that people can participate from a distance as well as showing up to the event.
Yeah, it's it's really been a community that's come together to help make it happen. We're going to talk about the artists and performers a little later in the show, and we're going to get to hear from some of those artists as well, which is very exciting. It is not the usual names, you know, out there. It's a wide array of artists that have come together throughout the valley to create installations. So do stay tuned for that. But now let's talk about the team that put this together, because you have been surrounded by some dynamos. Let's talk about Heart Month and American Heart Association and how that all came together.
That was probably one of my favorite little pieces. I was thinking of when is this the appropriate time to have this event? And I thought Valentine's Day, because Valentine's Day is traditionally about couples. And I wanted to take back Valentine's Day and make it more about everybody. How do we make it more inclusive? How do we focus really on love? And so I thought, well, it's American Heart Month. So that's a perfect time to do it. Let's get the American Heart Association involved. And I just put that in my proposal that I sent to you, not knowing anybody from the American Heart Association. And then I got an email from Molly, who works with the American Heart Association, Molly Denar. And she just moved out to this valley in 2020 with the intention to bring a bigger presence of the American Heart Association onto the Western Slope. And she actually heard about us and the proposal via Stacy, who's her neighbor. So it was just this beautiful synchronicity of getting her involved. And she was really that first teammate on board other than yourself, Amy. And it started to solidify from there. And then she brought Ali Sanguili on board. And after that, we had you bring in on board Sarah and Kellen. And then Ali brought in Kenna. And it's solidified into this group of 7 women that have really made this happen. And I'm so honored that we get to inspire so much love. And it comes from this group of women that work so flawlessly together. I mean, I know we're privileged because I hear about so many people in these work environments that are full of drama and complexity. And, like, we haven't had any of that. It's just been smooth sailing this whole time.
Well, you got the A-team. You got the A-team. So for those who have just tuned in, you're tuned in to Express Yourself on KDNK. I'm Amy Kimberly, and I'm here in the studio with Barb Froda. We are talking about Light the Night with Love, which happens next week, February 13th and 14th. And you can find all the information and sign up to attend, buy your tickets. All that information can be found at carbondalearts.com. So we're going to take a little love break of some music and come right back with an interview that Barb is going to be conducting here. So stay tuned. Don't go away.
Fridays afternoon with here at the broadcasting from the heart of the
microphone.
Hopefully you are all out there enjoying this beautiful first Friday afternoon, feeling the love. We certainly are feeling it here, and we're going to keep that feeling going. Barb has got, we've got Zachariah on the phone. Zach, are you out there?
Yeah, hey, I'm right here.
All right. All right, I'm going to let these guys take it away.
All right, so we got Zachariah on the line. And I'm going to read his bio because I absolutely love it. So,
oh boy.
I know. So, Zachariah Rabbani is a first-generation human, given a different last name than both of his parents. He has grown as a Southwest Floridian with a misunderstanding of who he is. His influences consist of the relentless, repetitive nature of the blue-green crashing waves, the push for strategic explosions of energy in the world of sport and competition, as well as an obsession of contending with present-day educational institutional structures whose systems have deeply affected his process for thinking. Rabbani challenges the perception of structures, systems, patterns of man by using his own absurd experiences to fuel his art practice. I love that. I think that's so awesome. And I remember,
thank you.
Yeah, and it resonates because I feel like you're here to push art. You know, it's not that art is here to push you. You're really using it to challenge these systems, and so I really support that. So, currently you are over at Anderson Ranch, and I was wondering if you could introduce a little bit about what you do over there.
Sure. Yeah, I work at Anderson Ranch Art Center here in Snowmass Village, Colorado. I am the studio coordinator of sculpture. So we have other departments, ceramics, printmaking, photography, painting, woodworking, et cetera. And so each of those departments is a leader or a coordinator, and we run those departments. And so our job is to facilitate that studio, allow for a safe and a creative space for students and artists from all levels, ages, and from all over the world to come in and learn and make art.
Very cool. And so you've seen a lot of artists come and go at Anderson Ranch during your time there. And I'm wondering, how would you say 2020 has impacted Anderson Ranch, you know, in terms of creativity as well as the style of the artists showing up?
Sure. I mean, well, in 2020, we canceled our entire program, summer program, and everything. So it was really, really hard. I think a lot of us were kind of distraught, and with all the movements that were happening and super important, like systematic changes that were becoming more apparent, none of us really felt like we had a lot of weight to say much with our art. Like, it felt like our art maybe wasn't as strong as it needed to be in those moments. So a lot of us have been waiting and biding our time and trying to absorb what the world and what the U.S. has been giving us, you know?
Mm, absolutely. And I guess I'm just curious, you know, how would you say 2020 has essentially impacted your creativity and vice versa? How has your creativity impacted the way you experience 2020?
Yeah, like I said, it's been hard. You know, it really makes you sit down and think a lot longer. We have a couple sayings, you know, making as a way of thinking. So you make a lot of work and allow the work to speak for itself in some ways. And thinking as a way of making. And right now, you know, 2020 at least was a lot of thinking and writing and testing and drawing. And, you know, being able to work at the ranch, I have essentially like every resource to make work. So you sit there in the room sometimes and just think like, you know, possibilities are limitless, but then where do you start? You know, what do you feel has importance, and how can you, you know, begin to craft something together? Mm. But for us at the ranch and for us artists, you know, outside of our time, it's been a kind of lonely, you know, with no one around. As a normal summer, we'd have 200 or so students in each week, you know, 200 different students every week that coming in and out with faculty and artists, and we didn't have any of that. I mean, we did pivot strongly and effectively for online classes. We were able to offer, I think, almost 50 different online workshops for students over the summer.
Wow.
And we created a lot of events. We did a sculpturally distanced sculpture park, and we did a twinkly light show near the wintertime. So we were able to adapt, and I think we did a great job, but it was difficult during that time.
Absolutely. I think we're all learning how to adapt with what's going on, but it does show how resilient people are when they are challenged in that way. And I feel like artists above all really have that outlet and that malleability.
Yeah, definitely.
So I guess one of the other questions I have really ties into your bio. So you mentioned that your parents gave you a last name that was different from theirs. And in some ways, that's lent itself to this misunderstanding of who you are.
Sure.
So I'm wondering, you know, how has art played a role in really defining yourself and discovering who you are?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's weird. I didn't think about it a lot growing up, but, you know, you say, oh, yeah, my mom is Shelley Smith and my dad is Anja Miftikhar. And you're like, wait, you have a different last name than both of your parents. I'm like, yeah. And so over time, you start to, you know, develop yourself as a person, as an individual. And I love my name and my last name. And so then, you know, with all my fictional readings and creativity and writing and always wanting to push the boundaries of things, like I started to think about, how do I create myself as myself? How do I create this as a first person who's ever done this? And I'm sure other people can feel this way in similar way and avenues, but that lent itself a lot to make me feel like I could do or be anything. And in the world of art, from what I've learned, it's like anything is possible, conceptually, mentally, physically, spiritually. You have, you know, allow yourself to be open to those possibilities and really expand your mind and those perspectives. And then it's just trying, like, is this possible? I don't know. Let's try it. Trial and error. Let's test it. Let's experiment. Let's do this. And if this doesn't work, then now we know that's not the way to do it. But now we know there's another way to do it. And so that kind of thinking, I just find profound. I just find it so much fun. And when you can add like a positive spin, high energy, you know, try not to get down on yourself and just keep moving, it can be a really fun time, you know, making work and just living in those moments.
Beautiful. And so really finding that learning by doing and not stopping just because one thing didn't work, but just continuing to try and really not being limited by some box, but really
absolutely
pushing beyond it. Very cool. Well, maybe let's talk about your art, what you're bringing to Light the Night with Love. And I know it's not the first time that you've worked on this S thing.
Yeah.
I was hoping you could tell more about it because I'm not sure everyone will know. I was trying to describe it to some folks and some people instantly got it and others didn't. So I want you to talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, you know, growing up, I was a little rebellious and, you know, but just like a fun, energetic kid. And we would always, you know, my group of friends and I, we would always draw on our desks and notebooks and doodle like many of us as kids. And there's one symbol that we would always draw and it's this S and it's like a pointy S. You essentially draw six lines, vertical lines, three on the top, three on the bottom, and then you can connect them in certain locations and kind of create this like optically illusionistic S. And we were obsessed with it. I mean, we just loved it. We had no idea where it came from. We just all learned it, and then we would draw it, and then we would build chains of it, and we would connect them. And I'm really into those moments, those things that happen to us as kids or at different points in our life. And it's just a fun, I think, symbol that links a lot of us. You know, you said a lot of people instantly knew what you're talking about, or maybe they were unfamiliar, but then they got it later on. So last year, not 2020, but 2019, I had the opportunity to build a really large sculpture at a Franconia sculpture park in Minnesota. And it was one of those moments where it was like, I could pretty much think I could make whatever I want. What should I do? And so I thought, let's just try. Let's go big, let's or go home. And so I built a 27-foot pointy S in the middle of this gigantic art field. And that created a lot of avenues for me. There's an Instagram account called The S Thing, the_S_thing. And he has followers, up to like 26,000 followers, where people will draw this S, tattoos, drawings, paintings, digital animations, people from all over the world, all different ages, kids, you know, adults, elder folk, and they'll send them to this account and they'll post them. And so I've been in contact with this this account over the years, and it's just a symbol that I feel strongly about. And I don't think about it too conceptually at times, but I love the thought that just one symbol can link all of us together in such a simple way. It's just a quick, immediate way. And, you know, especially in 2020 when there was a lot of, you know, political things going on and systematic changes, you know, this symbol was a way for me to connect with you. And we can all find common ground if we just try to look for the thing that links us together. And so I think about this piece in that way.
That's very beautiful. And I appreciate you really tying into the, you know, I feel like it really ties into the theme of Light the Night with Love, which is about fostering that connection and that we can always find common ground. It doesn't matter where you're from, you know, what you believe in, you know, if anything, the common ground is we all have hearts and they beat and we all want to feel love and be loved and love one another. You know, it's
absolutely.
And
yeah.
If we work towards that, if we focus on that, and how can we focus on cultivating that love, that gratitude, that appreciation for what makes us different, but starting with that common ground, because I think it really helps to help us move forward through this coming year as a unified species rather than broken up as we've been lately.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I think about the world as infinite possibilities, you know, infinite potential. And this is just one symbol from my life that I've experienced. And I think, you know, my art can be a way for other people to think about other symbols or experiences that they might find with other people.
Absolutely. Well, Zachariah, I really appreciate you so much and how you've made this bridge between Carbondale Arts and Anderson Ranch. I know we have a couple other artists that we'll talk about later who are coming, and I'm just so grateful that you have brought them along with you. I think we've got, at least 2-3 others that came from Anderson Ranch. So I want to thank you again for forming that bridge and for
Absolutely.
Participating and sharing your beautiful art with us. Any last things that you wanted to share?
I thank you, Barbara, for all your help and communications. Amy, everyone at the Carbondale Arts facility, all the 7 amazing women, the strong team that have come together to create this opportunity. And I'm just so stoked just to be a part of it and to help. So thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you. We look forward to having you.
Likewise. Thanks, Barbara.
Thank you.
All right. Wow. You know, it's so exciting when artists from throughout the valley suddenly interweave and connect. And thank you, Barbara, for kind of turning us on to Zachariah. And I hope that this is just the beginning of a long relationship. I want to remind everyone that since it is First Fridays, you can catch Complexities from Surface to Form. It's at the Carbondale Clay Center. It opens, today is the 6th, isn't it?
The 5th.
It's the 5th. It opens tomorrow. It opens tomorrow. Because now, I guess, in the time of COVID, we don't really have to have openings on First Friday. Though I will say our 2 gallery will be open. But this show, Complexities, looks so incredible. It's called From Surface to Form. It's a group exhibition that celebrates North American ceramic artists who are exploring clay through the lens of complex decoration and forms. The exhibit will be on display from tomorrow, February 6th through March 27th, and you can also see it on CCC's new online shop. So the participating artists include Mark Arnold, Ashley Bevington, Naomi Clement, Matt Mitros, and Chris Pickett. I've seen a few pictures, folks, and it is really worth checking out. All right. Well, Barb got to talk to Zach, and I honestly have to say, I think when people can call in live and we can do it that way, the sound quality is so much better and nicer. But I was lucky enough to catch up with another artist in the show, Marilyn Lowy. She is an Aspen artist. She was an Aspen fellow last year at the Aspen Art Museum. And I'm going to play our little interview. And I tell you folks that this woman has had a most fascinating life. So here you go. This is Amy Kimberly, and I have caught up with Marilyn Lowy. She is a lifelong learner and an artist, especially when it comes around to art. She graduated from Carnegie Mellon University with an MFA in lighting in 1976, going on to become Neil Diamond's lighting director from 1980 to 2018, as well as winning an Emmy for lighting, working in film and Broadway, working with Siegfried and Roy and Pope Benedict, Harry Connick Jr., and much more. Now, that would have been enough for many people, but Marilyn went and received an MFA in art from the California Institute of the Arts in 2010. Why, Marilyn?
Sounds good. All of this sounds very good. I kind of, as a kid, I was pretty much impassioned with life, and knew I wanted to study theater. And so I went to Emerson College and got my BFA in theater, and knew I needed more, more education and more practice and more work before I went to New York, which was the way things were going at that point. And when I got to a certain point in my lighting design career, and I felt that the business was changing, and that I needed to explore other options of how I could manifest my passion for light. And I started exploring the art world, and which made me want to go back to school and kind of learn a different sensitivity of the creative process. And after CalArts, I, like most artists, get a studio and just start creating and working. And I've been doing it ever since. I mean, as you mentioned, I graduated in 2010. And I love what I do. And I could not imagine, I mean, most of the time I'm just starting out, and would love to show my work more, as I am starting to do with you folks in Carbondale. And it's fascinating to me. Every day, as you said, I'm an eternal student, and every day is another explorative process. The work, I've been dealing with a few different types of aspects of creating art. One has been working with glass, a 2D element, working on creating a 3D type of look to it. I created a process a few years ago where I took tempered glass and broke it and froze it in the form that I originally started working with it. And then I started exploring printing with a UV light printer, so that based an image on, and started creating my own images and collages of mediated works and unmediated images, I mean. And so I've been exploring that. I always found it interesting how so much of my life in creating a 3D picture with light and texture in the air, so it becomes three-dimensional, how I could create that in a 2D world. And I always thought that was interesting. So that was one part of my creative process. And the other part is dealing with light as a material and immaterial element. And for instance, when in 2008, I had the honor to light Pope Benedict when he came over to America. And a friend of mine is a producer of rock and roll shows and other creative projects. And so he hired me because they wanted a new, refreshing look to the Pope's appearance. And so I created an art project out of that, where I created an installation where I recreated the life for Pope Benedict, so that a viewer could actually stand in the light and feel that quality of life that the Pope that I implemented for the Pope's appearance. So that's a different type of a project, a different type of installation where some people walk in and they see three lights and they see a red X on a low platform, and they're looking for the work. And they're actually standing in the work, but they're still looking for it, which is interesting, which is fascinating to me, but it's also interesting as an artist.
So you were received a fellowship at the Aspen Art Museum during probably the strangest year we've ever had yet.
Absolutely.
And I've also noticed I'd love to talk a little bit about that project and also about how politics and what happens in our contemporary world now affects you as an artist.
That's an interesting point. I created, I was honored again to be selected as a fellow for the Aspen Art Museum. And, but my project was, it was called West Wing Patterns of Power, where I had taken the three windows from the Oval Office and created a model with the hopes of someday being able to create it in full scale. But the model was the light coming through the windows. I built three windows and put them on the floor of the Oval Office, and no one is really knowledgeable about this, but the floor under the carpet at the Oval Office is a very sophisticated herringbone pattern of two different types of hardwood. And so I built out of balsa wood and basswood the floor, and had the three windows laser cut, and then I took theatrical lighting, one light actually, and shined it through the windows and to create a conversation about the light coming in through the windows and referencing and reflecting on all the presidents that have worked in that office over the years and how iconic those windows and that office have been, and the power of the light coming through the windows, and what political decisions were made that impacted the United States, that impacted the world. It's funny because I'm really not a political person. I kind of keep my ideas and my thoughts to myself because I'm not savvy about anything in politics. But I felt that the light of it embraced so many generations and had such meaning and impact that it created, for me, the windows became a piece of sculpture, and the floor became an area outside of the Oval Office where you could conflate it as a piece of sculpture, or you could look at it, you could just bathe in the light of these windows and feel and think about all that's gone on in this office and in the light, and the meaning of light in an instance of this. I feel very fondly about the Oval Office, and it's actually, you know, and now it's really, I mean, as to what's gone on in that Oval Office in the last, you know, the end of the 45th president to the 46th president, I mean, it's amazing how one office can take on so many different moods and so many different, I mean, there's hope in that office now. So, you know, it's so timely. Excuse me. It's just so timely that I selected that to work on. And it even, you know, I have an instructor, Charles Gaines, in school, and he would say, your work, if the work has legs, it'll withstand the test of time. So I find that so interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. And I mean, I do think you have chosen to speak to all kinds of issues throughout your art. I know your first installation that you showed as an artist was called Dark Side of Her Broom. So
that was about my mother.
Yeah. So you're not afraid. I mean, what's harder to tackle than one's mother? So it feels like you do take in things head on and somehow are able to manifest them and bring them out in a different form through your art.
That's very true. You know, I learned very early in lighting, in my concert lighting design career, that if I liked looking at it, if I enjoyed and found what I was doing interesting, then the viewer would find it interesting. This is interesting because when I went back to school, I remember having this conversation with an instructor, and I remember saying, what's the difference between a designer and an artist? And I thought about it, and a designer just solves someone else's problems, and an artist creates their own problems and solves it. And as an artist, you create your own content. As a designer, most of the time, you're given content. And that's actually one of the reasons why I went back to school, was to see really what I was missing and what I didn't get. And now I have a much greater understanding, and I understand artists so much more when I view other artists' work, of the challenges of how they create it and how they solve it. I mean, we're solvers. We're all spin doctors, but we're solvers.
It's a lot about the process, a lot about the process. So can we talk a little bit about the piece that you have? It will be part of Light the Night with Love coming up on February 13th and 14th. It's a installation piece that you have created through, I believe it's LED linear tubes. Can you
yes,
talk
yes,
to that?
Exactly what it is. Yes. They were the original rock and roll outdoor video screen. That's how old the technology is and how much more sophisticated it is now. But these tubes are about a meter long, and they're about 2.5 inches wide, and they contain in them pixels, RGB pixels. And over them is a covering that softens the light source, so that it's softer to the eye. It's not LED, can be very harsh, as we know. But this softens it so that when you put all of these, they're called vertices, when you put an array of vertices together through a processor and another element we call buffer boxes, you can project a video image. You can live stream a video image, or you can project a JPEG or just an image. I purchased these many years ago, and I've done a few different projects on these. And the work that I'm doing is called the Cruise Fire, but it actually is what I'll call a piece of a work that I've been doing throughout the years called Translating Transition. And how that, the derivation of that was, I took the most basic source of light, which is a candle, or just a single flame, and I image streamed that through the tube into one of the most sophisticated light sources. So I called it Translating Transition because it was a transition, and I was translating it. And that, over the course of the years, has taken many different shapes and sizes of installations that people can visit my website and see that. So when I heard about the show, I was, what can I do? And we're outdoors, and I said, what if I look into a campfire? Also, a few years back, the Cool Fire was called, it was referred to as a television, and then the family would sit around the television and watch it. And for me, then it all fell into place, because here we are sitting around a campfire of a television screen that's fractured that we're looking at. And that's how I kind of put it all together and call it the Cruise Fire. It's made up of pixels. So when I put it together, is abstract image of the flame as we sit around this television campfire. I mean, I've reduced it to as basic as I can. I find it interesting, and I think people sitting around a campfire love to look at the flame, besides the good feeling of it. And the sound of a fire is interesting, because you can sit around this campfire, I don't know if you can in this situation, but when you hear it, and when you're looking at a fractured, abstracted image of a fire, your perception is kind of different, because I've had people look at this work and say, in my studio here, and say, the only thing I'm missing is the heat of it. I can see it. I can hear it. I just, you know, I'm missing the feel of the heat. This is what I was going for.
It's definitely a very sensory experience, which sounds like this has a lot of the senses, maybe not the smell and heat of it, but definitely in the viewing and feel of it.
Yeah.
Well, you call yourself a minimalist in your art, and it sounds like in this piece, when I look at it, it's just so clean and beautiful in that minimalism of it. Can you delve into that just a little bit?
Well, I think coming from a world of show business, I spent many years hiding cables and hiding things and making it visually, I don't want to technically use a Yiddish word, but I don't want to use it. Sometimes it ends up being a little bit overdone, because it needs to be a spectacle. You know, some theatrical productions end up being spectacles. I feel that my art project, my art creation, do not need to be spectacular. They just need to communicate the message that I am coming from, and hopefully that will the viewer will be able to understand and take it in. And think about it, and wonder about it, and dispute it with themselves or with a group of people. You know, how do you call this a clean fire? Then fires are warm. So, I mean, that's part of the conversation. So the minimalism is just to strip it down to what is necessary. I don't need to add anything other than what the elements are, and in a certain order, how I created it. And that's it. It's as bare bones. The meaning is in the message, and the message is the meaning. So, as Marshall McLuhan used to say. So that's kind of it. I mean, it's bare bones. And as my work was in the for my fellowship, it was the bare bones of the floor of the White House and the three windows and a light. Yeah, and that's. That brings up a whole, so there's less room for error in the translation of it, in the understanding.
I agree. And there's also so much power in that minimalism, because it leaves so much room for the viewer to get involved and create some stories within their own minds when they look at it.
Yes.
So we only have a few more minutes left, and I want to make sure that people can find you and your work. Where might they go?
I would send them to my website, which I created. I actually decided that I was going to do it myself. And so I took a couple of months and put it together. It wasn't that it was difficult. The difficulty was collecting all of the images from over the years, because on my website there's an art section and there's a lighting design section. So you can see my history of how I learned to see and the evolution of how I'm still seeing now in a different light, so to speak.
That's right. www.marilynlowey.com. It's really worth checking out. I'm sorry that the quality wasn't as good as it could be, but we have some incredible artists, and I hope you all come out Find out all the information you can at carbondalearts.com. There are artist features there. There are ways to participate, ways to get tickets. Thanks, Barb, for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me, Amy, and thank you for your support with this event.
All right, everybody, stay safe out there. It's snowing.
We ask artists to at least write some notes.
Well, you know, is it 456?
This one had some notes on the back of the canvas for where to put the nails and how high to hang the different pieces together so they fit. So that's a good question. Same thing for Esther Nooner's window piece. It was just tricky to get off the vinyl sticker and exactly.
Okay, you know what? Because it was my first time, I realize I have maybe another minute. We have one more minute before Pulse of the Planet. I really want to do this right. So, folks, remember, February is American Heart Association. Also, you can check out the R2 Gallery and the Valley Visual Show is up, and we will be open till 7 p.m. tonight. So come check out all your favorite Valley artists, and you get to vote on the favorite. And just have a great weekend there, out there, because there's a lot going on out there. All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you soon.